Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast with me, Ian Welsh, and I'm with Toby Webb. Hi, Toby.
Afternoon, Ian. How are you?
Very well, thank you. We're just going to have a bit of a chat about some of the issues we've seen at our events over the last year, some of the big issues that we've seen develop, and think about what's going to come up in 2017. Certainly, 2016 has been a big year for a number of reasons, Toby. We've had the Brexit, we've had the election of Donald Trump, and I think these matters have impacted on the commodity supply chains and deforestation space that we do a lot of work in.
They certainly have, Ian. I mean, I was quite depressed about Brexit and the election of Donald Trump for quite some time. The chink of light that I'm trying to find is that I think from what I've seen from companies so far is they realise that consumers, stakeholders, B2B partners, others, progressive governments will have even more expectations on them in light of some of the sort of recalcitrant political actors we're seeing. So I'm kind of hopeful that the sustainability debate and the support for that in large companies could be buoyed by these challenges we're facing because companies realise they need to play a serious role and that none of them seem keen on backing away from their supply chain sustainability and climate change commitments, for example. So quite optimistic about 2017 compared to where I was a few weeks ago. How about you?
I agree. We talked about this earlier in the year, a month ago, the Marrakesh COP meeting, and I wasn't there, but it seemed to me that the impression was that the companies at the time of the Trump election simply kind of said, right, let's roll up our sleeves and get on with it because, you know, we have to deal with these matters. We know we have to deal with these matters, and whether or not we have climate skeptics in the White House, matters have to be dealt with. I mean, I think you're right, we're going to see companies ever more taking the lead and working with the progressive governments that are still there to address supply chain matters, to look at deforestation, and also to address the human rights and business area as well. So thinking more closely about deforestation, we actually just put out a newsletter this week looking at palm oil and the fact that there seem to be yet again more activist reports digging away at the problems in palm oil supply chains, and now Amnesty looking at human rights issues in the palm oil supply chain. So what's your take on where palm oil is and deforestation debate in general?
It's a real challenge, isn't it? I mean, on the one hand, it's easy to look at palm oil and say, you know, here's a sort of commodity car crash in terms of supply chain sustainability. But on the other hand, you have to say it's one of the most productive oils in the world. It can be farmed sustainably and it's here to stay. So we've got to deal with the issues. I think what's interesting at the moment is that this focus on human rights and labor rights is starting to be on the table, which it sort of hasn't been before. It sounds amazing that in all the febrile years of palm oil campaigning, we haven't had this focus directly on things like child labor and plantation workers' rights. But a lot of the debate over the last 10 or 15 years has been more about land development, peatland, canals, burning, smallholders, illegal land development, all these other issues, which are incredibly important. We've heard on the sidelines of our conferences people talking about this kind of human rights time bomb in Southeast Asia around labor conditions. You've got millions of illegal migrant laborers in places like Malaysia whose rights are being abused. We've had an awful lot of attention turning to workers' rights with the Qatar World Cup preparations and all the campaigning there. And I think that kind of attention of concentrated labor and their rights, which we've seen come to the fore in the work we do in apparel, in human rights generally, that focus is now very much turning onto palm oil plantation conditions in a way which it hadn't before. So companies have more issues to deal with. But if you've been out to Southeast Asia, as I have and many others have, of course, you go to the plantations and you can see these issues right in front of you. So they're not new. They've been around for a long time, but companies are going to have to make more consistent efforts to tackle them. And there's a whole new group of NGOs now turning their attention to these areas, such as Amnesty International. So certainly pretty significant alongside all the other issues that companies have to deal with.
It's interesting that the reaction that companies have, some companies say, well, you know, we are trying our best here, we are engaging with NGOs, but these problems are just very big. Do you think there's a danger that companies simply think that, well, if we are engaging, then, you know, we are moving along the process, we are on the journey, as everyone says, but, you know, how do we get to the end point? How do we actually stop these problems in the supply chain?
Well, it's got to be about the supplier engagement, and that's the problem that commentators suggest is a real challenge, that companies are monitoring compliance to their own targets, but that doesn't filter down to what's happening on the ground with suppliers that could be wholly owned, partially owned, or not owned at all. And while Greenpeace will tell you that there's, you know, 20 or 30 rogue companies outside of smallholders who are causing most of the deforestation, the labor rights problem is endemic across the entire industry. And getting there is going to require years of hard work. It took the total tragedy of the Rana Plaza situation in Bangladesh about 3 years ago for apparel brands there to start engaging in the institutional environment. And I think we'll have a few more of these reports. before companies start realizing that labor rights on plantations in the supply chain are as important as all the other issues they've been dealing with. So this leads into actually the same issue they're trying to tackle when it comes to all the other issues in sustainable palm oil, land development, peatlands, canal digging, all this kind of stuff, is the institutional and enforcement environment, which is sorely lacking in countries all over the world. You know, the Brazilians famously cut their deforestation rates by improving enforcement and the institutions around enforcement, amongst other things. Other countries are going to have to do the same. So actually, you can solve both of these sets of problems by tackling the same thing. But the problem is no one quite knows how to tackle that thing. And we are seeing some really good work being done by the likes of TFA, the Tropical Forest Alliance, and many others to try and make inroads here. But I think it's going to be a long, hard road.
Yeah, indeed. Something that has come up at a number of events, particularly the second half of the year, is suddenly everyone seems to be talking about collaboration. I mean, the event, their deforestation event in London, it continually, session after session, everyone talked about, you know, collaboration, and what programs that really work and then combine. I mean, it's the old-fashioned stakeholder, you know, multi-stakeholder program, but in combining government, combining the right NGOs on the ground, the right local government, and the right progressive businesses, then, in fact, you can really make a difference, and you can see how you can make a scalable difference as well. And that's something I certainly have taken from our last events. And it's interesting enough, the fact that now we are linking environmental matters and the social, as you know, Toby, you know, we've been had several events this year on human rights, business and modern slavery. And the fact that the legislation has been brought into play, the Modern Slavery Act in the UK and the California legislation, companies suddenly are having to really take note of these things. And perhaps we're getting to a situation where there's not going to have to be a Rana Plaza tragedy for board members to really sit up and deal with the modern slavery and forced labour and other human rights issues that they have in their supply chains. So that's certainly something I think we're going to see more of next year. So, Toby, we've got a lot of things, an interesting roster of events for next year. I mean, what are you looking forward to most?
Well, I suppose a continuation of the themes we've been tackling around modern slavery, human rights and forced labour and deforestation. I think in both of those areas, we're still pretty much, you might argue, still only at the beginning of tackling some of the problems on the ground. The jurisdictional and landscape approach is being talked about an awful lot, but a lot of people in companies don't really know what that means for them. And one might start to see countries beginning to compete on improved labour and human rights issues. So, for example, a lot of companies got together and pressured the government of Myanmar to raise the minimum wage because the government has sort of assumed that having a very low minimum wage was the way to go. And various brands were quite successful in collaborating with ETI, the Ethical Trading Initiative, in persuading them to actually have a higher minimum wage as a selling point. And so those are the tipping points that we hope to see more of, and it's early days for that one. We'll certainly be continuing those key themes of human rights, forced labour and commodity supply chain sustainability. And another area we're looking at, in fact we're working in, is this notion of what is innovation in sustainable agriculture? And for me, that's the big question next year that I'd like to try and get us closer to an answer on. What do we mean by innovation? How does it happen from a smallholder perspective? How does it happen from a big corporate perspective? And we're getting an awful lot of interest in defining that and putting it into action meaningful programs on the ground from big companies and others that we're speaking to. So quite an exciting theme for next year, I think.
Absolutely. And the exciting thing, I think, is that for a long time, we've been talking about use of technology, the use of new techniques in achieving real change in supply chains and sustainable business in general. But I think now we're getting to a point where the solutions are coming up. They are scalable solutions. They are appearing. Suddenly people are actually making a big difference. And I think that's, as I agree with you entirely, that's something we're going to see more of next year. Not just in agriculture, but technology and use of technology is so useful for companies that want to measure their social impacts as well. The monitoring techniques they can use, better engagement with people in tier two, tier three of their supply chain, using technology, bypassing sometimes the kind of tier one suppliers. It's really interesting. And it's changing the way that companies actually engage with the people that are making their products. Total change, really, because it used to be they only really dealt with the people that bought the product to their factory gate or their office gate. You know, who delivers our products? Well, that's all the other people I engage with.
I agree. And I think one group that's going to find themselves under increasing pressure on exactly that topic are the commodities traders. The bigger ones are engaged with the work that we do. But I think if you compare them to the brands and the brand strategies, they're nowhere near as ambitious. A lot of the work they're doing, I think, is quite defensive. And there's a fundamental challenge to their business model in these notions of radical transparency and traceability. Because if everybody knows where everything comes from, why do we need so many middlemen? And the outsourcing of various procurement efforts over the last 20 or 30 years by companies has allowed these companies to come up and be, you might argue, they would certainly argue, very effective middlemen. But I wonder what their future role is when we look at these notions of transparency and traceability as they take hold. Certainly, even with visibility, which some might argue is a step down from traceability. So that's a really interesting theme for next year. And I think some of these commodities traders are going to have to come out with much more impressive sustainability strategies around commodities sustainability than they are at the moment.
It could also, it'll impact, I think, on their actual business model as well, because if suddenly they've got their customers talking to their own suppliers, you might find that they're not able to make quite as much cash in the middle as they were in the past. So it's going to impact on a whole lot of things.
I completely agree. And I think the other big theme for next year, thinking about a number of meetings I've been in recently, is Africa. And people have been saying for years, Africa's the future and always will be. But I think we're starting to see real interest from governments, particularly in West Africa and Central Africa, when stability allows, in understanding what sustainable landscapes mean, understanding the value of forests. Liberia has the largest amount of forests left in West Africa. So these countries and the way companies behave in them and the way these collaborations take hold, I think next year is really going to be interesting for helping define the future paths in that space. So I think that's an exciting area to keep an eye on.
And do you think that governments in Africa are kind of getting their heads around the notion that, in fact, big business is not the enemy? Big business can actually help them develop their countries, develop their natural resources, but do it in a way that means that they're there for the long term, not simply a kind of smash and grab as perhaps as companies used to do, and develop the countries economically in a beneficial way for their population?
I think it's hard to take a broad brush approach, but I've met a number of senior African government figures in the last couple of years, including one just last week from one of the major countries in terms of forest cover and commodities. And I think that, yeah, they absolutely do get it. And these are smart people and they want companies to be in for the long term. I think the tension, actually, it seems to me, in many of these countries now is between the development agenda. So the NGOs and development agencies who still often operate in this very kind of 1970s, 1980s, 1960s, however you term it, mindset. And companies and governments are saying, actually, no, what we need is solution X. Meanwhile, the development money and the campaign of focus is often around Y as opposed to the governments and companies X. That has an impact in Africa like in no other place in the world. In other parts of the world, it wouldn't be such a question, but it really is there because of the power of aid and development money. So I think that's a really interesting tension and an area where there's a lot more work to be done. I think, thankfully, what we're seeing at our conferences and our meetings is that those agencies are now turning up more and more and getting more and more engaged with business. And a very good friend of mine who consults for various aid agencies, government agencies, for example, is telling me, that they're starting to get it in terms of the power of the private sector acting responsibly. So another good theme for next year, and fingers crossed that more sensible collaborations can happen.
You're absolutely right. You do see so many more government people now at conferences and at other events and meetings, as you say, really engaging with the private sector and all these things. So, I mean, that's something that we're going to be looking at, along with many other issues, at our upcoming conference series and, of course, also our upcoming webinar series, which we'll be discussing all these matters as well, and in our publishing and everything else that we do. So it's an exciting time.
Absolutely. So, listeners, keep checking back to innovations-forum.co.uk. You can find us on your various podcast apps, where you can hear Ian's dulcet tones questioning the great and the good on sustainability strategy, and the odd one from me. So I think from both Ian and I, have a wonderful break over the festive period, and we're looking forward to engaging and working with you all in the new year.
Absolutely. Happy Christmas, everybody, and we'll see you next year.